Hello, and welcome to Media Ministry at Holden Village. Today's date is July 26th, 2004. Today's session number is BUM 2004-02. Today's speaker is Madeline Bussey. And the lesson for today is Praying with Lecto Divina. Let's listen in.
Thanks for being here. We can begin the tape. My name is Madeline Bussey, and the name of this session is Praying with Lectio Divina. And I'll talk more about what that means in a bit. I'm wondering, just out of curiosity, who of you are already familiar with practice? Okay, so we've got some veterans in the room who can please add to the conversation. What I'd like to do today is do a little bit of talking about Lectio Divina, but then have an opportunity to experience it, because it's really meant to be experienced, not just something that you kind of talk about on a theoretical basis. So, I'm from Denver, Colorado, and I'm serving for 3 weeks in the village as spiritual director. And one of the things they invite the spiritual director in the village to do is to offer a session on some sort of spiritual practice, something that can deepen our prayer life or our spiritual life, our journey with God. Lectio Divina is an ancient practice like that. It's a spiritual practice that has been around probably since, I don't know, the early, very early times of the church, whenever they had the printed word, but also a lot of time in the monastic tradition when there wasn't the printed word, but it was done then with the spoken word. So somebody who did read and had the text would read the text for the monks, the monastic folks to meditate on together and hear that word. So it's an ancient practice. It's one that has become revived recently and is growing in popularity and use as something that I think people really enjoy and appreciate, especially for those of us who sometimes need to get out of our heads and more into our hearts as we read scripture or any other sacred reading. Lectio Divina is a contemplative praying of scripture. And it also can be used, as I said, with other sacred readings, the same technique. And just a month ago, I was in Mexico for an immersion, and there we did an exercise with icons and did a very similar process with an icon, where the icon then became the sacred text rather than words was the picture, which I found particularly meaningful. When I was there, the icon that we were using was one very similar to some of the gift cards that are in the bookstore, where I think there's like Mother Teresa and Cesar Chavez. The one we prayed with was Oscar Romero, the archbishop who was assassinated in El Salvador. Lectio Divina is often referred to as the prayer of the listening heart. And I really like that phrase. I was almost ready to retitle the session, the prayer of the listening heart. Many people describe it as a way and a means of achieving union with God. Achieving union with God can be a pretty mystical term for some of us, and maybe something beyond what we think we might be capable of. I like to think of it maybe more simply in terms of being at one with God, a way of living into the relationship that we know is ours if we believe that we are created in the image of God, and therefore that God's Spirit does dwell within us, and then we are at one with God in experiences like Lectio Divina. It is more of an experience with God and scripture than an intellectual study. And in fact, it's not an intellectual study of scripture at all. So if you're one who loves to do exegesis, that's wonderful and a good thing to do. But when we enter into Alexio Divina, we kind of try to avoid over-intellectualizing, trying to, you know, make sure we understand the historical content, what exactly is the Greek translation of that word. Those are not things to be concerned about with Lectio Divina at all. It's the prayer of the listening heart, it's the living word entering our hearts and speaking to us in this time for this day. It doesn't matter what the critics have said about it any other time, it's for you on this day. A matter of the heart, not of the head. The Hebrew people, the heart was the center of everything. The center of our physical being, our emotional being, our spiritual being. The word for heart was the center of our being. And for them, the heart was where the people truly met God's word, where real knowledge and conversion took place. We sometimes talk about learning something by heart, or we think about some emotions, and if somebody is really expressing their feelings to you and they have some body language, it's usually not this, it's usually this. So the prayer of the heart, it's still where we kind of find a lot of our emotion. Particular way of being is in our heart. Lectio Divina can be practiced both individually and as in small groups. And I'm going to talk about primarily how you can use this as an individual prayer practice, but at the end I also want to talk about group Lectio Divina because I think it's a very helpful tool to use in group discernment. I've used Lectio Divina with congregational councils who are in a decision-making discernment process on retreats. It's a wonderful way for those of us who process best in dialogue to practice Lectio Divina is to do it with two or three other people. It's also a practice to do alone. So it is cultivating our ability to listen. It's called Lectio Divina, which literally means divine reading, but it's as much about listening to the word as reading the word. It's a time for us to listen for the still, small voice of God that's within us. Some of you may hear a loud, distinct voice of God. That's not usually my experience. It's usually much more subtle, much more gentle. I don't know whether I, in my experience, even hear words of God as much as experience the presence of God and kind of a way of knowing and hearing God speaking to me through the text and hearing the words of God enter my heart. And what is God's word for me today? And how am I to hear that word? It is because it is oftentimes a gentle or softer word, one of the disciplines of Lectio Divina is to learn how to be silent. And so the process for Lectio Divina that I've put on the board begins with preparing ourselves for that time. And the best way I know to prepare is to find a quiet place, some place where you can be alone, if you're doing this as an individual practice, with free of distraction, if that's possible. Some people like to sit on the floor in a yoga-type position. Other people have a chair in their house that they call their prayer chair or a quiet corner. The important thing is to get comfortable so that your body's not a distraction. To sit in a way that you're, and if these chairs may challenge you in that way when we do it. I know I'm a person who seldom sits with my feet flat on the floor, but it is really helpful to sit with our feet flat on our floor. Sometimes you would be holding the book, so your hands are holding the book, but to be comfortable and to begin with what we often call a centering time. And how we breathe initially is can be very helpful. The other Hebrew word, and I am not a Hebrew person, but I know ruach, which is breath. And the breath of God, as we breathe in, just simply think of the word inspire and kind of pray for God's inspiration as you breathe in the breath of God and expire, breathe out the clutter of your day, your worry list, the busyness of our lives, the clutter that's there. So some deep breaths as we're preparing, some nice exhaling, a good oxygen exchange. And it also helps us to loosen up, I think, to get rid of any tension that's in our body. Then after we're prepared, there's four basic stages. And I think it's nice to try to commit the rhythm of Lectio Divina to memory, to know what it is, but at the same time, to not worry about it too much. It's less a linear process as a circular process, but I think these steps are there to be helpful to us, and it's what works best for most people. The first stage is Lectio, or simply the reading. A little bit when we do it together, I'm going to invite you to either hear me read the text and not worry about reading it. If you want to just let the words wash over you in an auditory sort of way, but if you're a visual person that appreciates the text, it's going to be Ephesians 1, and it's up there, and I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and those of you who would want to look at the text can do that. But during the reading time, it's best to stick with a short passage, not a long passage, 4 to 6 verses maximum. You know, a section of a psalm, a piece of a reading. And one of the things that I'll point out that's really lovely about this book, which is available in the bookstore, is that there's 500 scripture texts that are kind of categorized by things like trust, suffering, security in God, seeking God, and so there's some wonderful, helpful selections. I know one of the things I struggled with before I discovered this book, when I wanted to practice this, was, well, do I do the, you know, open it up and God will show me which text I'm supposed to see today? I think it helps to have something like this that gives us some suggestions for the kind of texts that are there. But during that reading phase, simply let the words wash over you. Let your eyes gently scan them initially. Read it through 1 or 2 times. See what word or phrase seems to jump out at you. And it may be a single word, it may be a whole sentence that becomes your word for the day that you are then going to move to the next stage of meditation with. As I said before, don't puzzle over the meaning of a word too much. You can ponder it in the reflection stage, chew on it, but just let the word be your word in whichever way it comes to you, or the phrase. In the next phase, the meditatio is the Latin, is the meditation or the reflection phase of Lectio Divina. When you're ready, when you've had time to look at the text, to hear it, then simply hear the words and let the word or phrase that attracts you or leaves a special impact on you enter into your heart. Let it come more deeply into that time of just listening and being with it. Some people use the word ruminate, which is related to what a cow does with a cud, and to just chew on it, to just be with it, roll it over time and time again. Some people find it helpful to say the words out loud rather than to just look at the words, to actually speak the words that speak to your heart, and to say them out loud, to listen with your heart and get it into your ear, to even memorize that phrase. And then let it interact with you. With any thoughts that you have, let it interact with your story, your history. Let it interact with whatever issue might be in your life right now that it's speaking to. And we simply allow God's word to become God's gift to us as we are reading it and pondering it. Let that word enter in, touch you, affect you at whatever level you seem to be at for it to affect. During that time, you may want to even set the book aside and just let those words be with you. You may want to read them yet another time. It's really up to you. When we do this together, I'll read it through again so that you hear it again. After you've had some time, and there is no clock to Lectio Divina, and I have had experiences where I've spent 30 or 40 minutes and other times where it's been 10. It just kind of depends. It's not something that, in order to have had a good meditation, means that you just were a really long time. But, you know, I would set aside enough time that you don't have to rush it. If you've got 30 minutes to an hour to set aside, and then just let it be. And let God's sense of timing take over. Enter into kind of sacred time, if you will. After you've spent that time meditating, and I loved the sermon last night when he was talking about prayer being a time when we calls forth a response in us. Sometimes it even is something that is listening to God, but also calls forth a response or an action in our part. So when we get into the oratio, and if you know Latin, you probably will correct me on that pronunciation, but it's simply easier to talk about oration. That's a time to talk with God. Be in dialogue with God about this. Some people talk out loud to God. Some people, it's just, again, it's thoughts that are in our heads that are in dialogue with God. It may be that there's an actual prayer that's called forth from you, something that you are either asking of God out of that reading. Maybe it is a time of praying for someone or for yourself or for a situation. Maybe you experience a response that's calling for a conversion of the heart, a change in your life, an action that you are discerning, and it's a time to bring that to prayer, to, you know, be in dialogue. And you may not finish this conversation with God. It may be the beginning of a conversation, but it's a time to be in a loving conversation with the one who has called us into God's embrace. Part of it is conversation with God. Another part of it might be what's termed consecration, which means setting apart as holy, a time to set apart a part of ourselves that we've just now are discovering that are part of our relationship with God, kind of a dimension of our life that we are discovering and want to be in fuller relationship with God, a part of us that we hadn't even realized God wants, that God is calling into relationship in that prayer. In that prayer, we allow the word that we have taken in and on which we are pondering to touch and to change our deepest selves. We're invited to hold up our most difficult and pain-filled experiences. We're invited to hold up the joy in our life, the thanksgivings that are called forth, a sense of calling and discernment. It is truly a time of the summoning out all that I shall be, the good, the bad, the ugly, to be in relationship with God, to allow our authentic selves to be touched and changed by the Word of God. The final stage is the simplest. Contemplation is sometimes simply called a place of soul rest, a time to just rest with God and let it be. you can get rid of the words. In the Eastern tradition, they call it gazing on God. That's especially what happens with iconography, when you use an icon, which we have learned from the Eastern tradition, to just be with God, to rest with what has happened for you, whether it's a big experience or a small experience. And again, in my experience, sometimes it will be quite profound, feels transformational, life-changing, and other times it's much more simple and gentle than that. It's just been a nice, quiet time, and not anything particularly significant happens, but there's just a word of God for me that I can carry into my day, into my week. But contemplation is to simply be there. And I had a wonderful Carmelite nun that I met once, who she would just say, just sit with it. Just let it be. Don't try to work it too much. Just let it be. Any questions before we go into an experience of Lexio about the process?
A pastor that I had that I worked with in the Middle East says it's like you go into your inner church, your inner temple, you go deeper and deeper until you get into that very center, the most holiest place in your being. So he said you just go to room after room after room.
Yeah. And it can be a growing experience that way, and the discovery of those deep places may not come the first time you try it. And I think that's the other important thing, is that we don't evaluate, okay, did I do it right? How good did I do it today? It's not to be evaluated, it's received as gift, whatever it is. But I agree that sometimes I will find myself, you know, where that text about with sighs too deep for words, and in fact, this book is called Too Deep for Words, especially in that praying part. Sometimes I don't even know what the words are, but Scripture says sometimes we have not the words with which to pray, but the Holy Spirit prays within us with sighs too deep for words. And sometimes I'll just find myself, you know, doing, you know, that where that tension just lets go. And you don't even realize how bound up you were until you start to breathe that way.
With journaling or response time,
yeah.
Journaling, that can be a time for those who
like to write.
Have a pathway for them.
Yes.
A pathway to find those words that are released.
Mm-hmm. Really, it can be, and I know I oftentimes journal after I finished the contemplation part and go back, and some people too will jot down what the word is just so they don't lose it, and again, that freedom to use this prayer practice in the way that's best for you. I was thinking about this earlier, and I thought as we try to do heart work rather than head work, if you're an F on the Myers-Briggs, this is probably easy for you. A feeling type does that automatically. A thinking type, it may be more difficult, but thinking types may be the ones who need it the most. So we sometimes develop what some people would call our shadow side, or underdeveloped side of our temperament in exercises like this. Please.
I'm not sure, but at the end, there'll be some time for talk about doing this with others.
Yes.
It's okay, yes. Yeah. I really want to talk about this.
Yes, good. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I want to talk. We'll do, this experience is going to be a little bit of a hybrid between individual and group, because I'm going to read the text and guide you through it, which when you do it as a group, that happens. When you're by yourself, you don't have somebody to kind of talk you through it. But then I do want to talk about the practice specifically done in groups and with group discernment and just group growing in our prayer life together and in our praying the Scriptures. So hold those Any other thing, questions or thoughts of those of you who've had experience doing this, things that I didn't say that you've could add to everybody's experience?
Way back in my prayer experience, I don't know where it came from, but there was this, when you mentioned this breathing in and breathing out, I find with confession, Lord Jesus Christ, to breathe in, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, and then to breathe out, have mercy on me, a sinner. Where did I find that?
That's another common prayer practice. Some of the words that you just said and variations of it are sometimes called the Jesus Prayer.
Oh, okay.
And people use that as another prayer practice, and we could do a whole session on that. But it's the same kind of breathing.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
In
this
and
came
out.
To my mm-hmm. mind.
Okay, then I would invite you to get comfortable in the chair. Those of you who want to follow in the text, I'm going to be looking at Ephesians 1, verse 2, and then jumping to verses 15 through 19. Take the time now to simply find your quiet center. In and out. I'll read the text twice with some space in between and just hear the words, listen for a particular word or phrase. Let the words just wash over you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you, and I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know God, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which God has called you, what are the riches of God's glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of God's power for us who believe, according to the working of this great power. Hear these words again. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know God, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which God has called you, what are the riches of God's glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of God's power for us who believe, according to the working of this great power.
read it again, let whatever the word or phrase that speaks to you enter more deeply into your listening heart. Ruminate on it, chew on it, let it interact with your hopes, with your memories, with your desires. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which God has called you, what are the riches of God's glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of God's power for us who believe, according to the working of this great power. As you hear the words again, let yourself gently move from meditation into the prayer of your heart. Let God pray in you. Let the Holy Spirit move you in prayer, calling forth whatever response is meant to be. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know God, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which God has called you, what are the riches of God's glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of God's power for us who believe, according to the working of this great power. As you find yourself ready, move from prayer to simply resting with God.
When we've got 1 hour for a session, I'm afraid the spirit isn't quite as free as the spirit might want to be. Again, I know that that can be a very private place for you, but as you're willing, I would welcome anybody who would like to share any part of the experience, either what the word or phrase was that came to you. If you want to share what the prayer of your heart was out of that, you can decide that or not, or just keep it. Anything about the experience itself, did it come long or short? Did it come easy or did you struggle with it? And what did you struggle with if you did? Just any reflections out of the time.
I think it's probably a little easier to get into this here at home than it might be every day when we return to our ordinary lives. So this is a good place to start.
It's a good place to start.
It's sometimes difficult with enough text that you chose, or
that's right.
And just, you know, so something else. I sometimes feel when I'm listening to it, I like listening.
Uh-huh. Rather than reading.
Come over to me very much when I'm listening. Because when I read, I tend to get a little more textual, like you said before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like I see it kind of like a fire. And every now and then, you know, a little spark goes, it's an idea or a thought. You know, sometimes you almost wish you interrupt it quickly, write them down or something, but you grab a hold of one of them and then just, you know, try to reflect on it and think about it. And, you know, this time for me myself, I got a feeling of it that this sense of that God wants us to discover Him. And He's talking about, you know, us learning and being fulfilled and fully understanding His purpose and what He wants for us.
Yeah. I really believe that a lot of times the starting place for prayer is God's desire for me, not so much my desire for God. And that's a real gift.
And just a technical thing for this, if people do like listening to it, if you have access, you know, to computers, most computers do have a recording mode or a program in them. So if you want to sit with your Bible, read the text at your rate, emphasize the words you like, put it in your computer, and you can get it to go into a loop. And you just have it keep doing it over and over to you.
I never would have thought of that.
It's a little easier sometimes than a tape recorder, but playing back and stuff.
I find this to be maybe
an
advantage of all of a sudden getting macular degeneration and having tapes and CDs of scripture to listen. I agree. Listening, you get much more a lot of times than you do when you're reading. It seems a little cool. And you can go back and re-listen.
Another reason why sometimes when we move into talking about group lexio, why group lexio can be particularly helpful or meaningful, because one person in the group will be the one who is the reader for the group.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear it. They say that most of us are visual. I'm an auditory person, and so hearing is also very helpful for me. And I think, again, we need to develop the parts of us that are getting underdeveloped, or maybe we're just so used to blasts of sound or the clutter of sound that hearing simple sound, simple words, can be helpful. Other experiences and thoughts?
I never got to prayer. I just had kind of like, I was going in and out of dreams, or little images that weren't dreams, but it's kind of just a miscellaneous kind of thing. And as I think about them now, they're kind of it's helpful, I guess. One place, you know, I was looking down like in my lap and seeing a plan laid out, almost like didn't make any sense. And right before we ended, I was sliding down a roof trying to hang on and falling off the roof and grasping onto the rain trough, whatnot, and falling. And that sort of ended. And as I tried to get a prayer out of that.
Help! Help!
Maybe God has told me to let go of all my plans and things. I don't know.
A lot to ruminate on.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not what we first think it is. And later in the day, even an enlightenment will come.
Yeah, I needed more time too. I didn't know it too much.
Yeah.
I was trying to get in tune with my body and my breathing, and I spent the whole time kind of coming back to that.
And that's, again, my discomfort in doing it this way is, you know, not knowing where your body rhythm is at, and but it's a good way to learn it initially, and then you can figure out your rhythm.
Well, I found it a massive guilt trip. I kept drifting into my own, and then I'd feel guilty. Like, no. Get out of your immediate needs or your past mistakes and that. Now, get over, and I get back into the moment. And then it just seemed all of a sudden, had nothing to do with Ephesians. Came, behold, the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. And I thought, he loves me anyway. So I can't do that. Not everybody can do yoga. Not everybody can do this process. It's an individual thing. And he still loves me, even if I flunk, right?
Well, I don't know when you came in, but one of the important things is that we don't evaluate our experience.
Right.
And it's the experience is what it's meant to be. And maybe your word for today wasn't in the Ephesians text. It was in the Behold the Lilies of the Field text. And as you said, you didn't get to pick the text. I got to pick it today. And so you needed a different word. And also, when you were saying things coming in, why I wanted to emphasize that it's not always linear, but it can be circular or weaving back and forth. Sometimes when we're distracted, we need to go back to the centering phase and just let it empty. Or listen to what that busyness is about. What is that distraction? And then maybe that's speaking to you and where your prayers need to go. So there's no... You cannot flunk this. Be graceful to yourself. One more, and then I want to move.
I've been using some Lexio in conjunction with centering prayer, and which is a practice that's very much in line with this. And I just want to say to you ahead of me that, it really is important not to evaluate, but just to kind of keep, in centering prayer, you use a sacred word. And, the word or phrase that you choose from the text of the Lexio really can use that to bring yourself back. And I think in practicing the centering prayer, you do get better. But, some days you may have been praying really well, what you feel is for a few days, and then the next day comes and it's like you've never prayed before. And you just really learn to let that go and not to evaluate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. And that, my experience exactly, just when I think I'm really good at this, and I'll have a real dry period.
You hit a clinker.
It's like, and I find myself using the phrase, it's not working. And that's not a phrase I want to be using. It's
desert time.
Pardon me?
Desert time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to listen to that. Whatever happens for us is what's happening for us, as they say. I for one, I'm not by nature a contemplative. I have a very busy mind, and it's hard for me to sit still. And this has been a very helpful practice and discipline for me. And it's been a discipline. But now it's become a gift. And I've likened it, I live in Colorado where we're told to drink a lot of water. And I never drank a lot of water before, and I would just about gag on a lot of water for a while, but then once I started drinking a lot of water, I just crave water. And it's the same way for contemplative prayer or lectio. Once, now that I've developed taste for it, when I don't do it or miss it, I get real thirsty. And the yearning for it is there, but I'll have to re-enter into it. I do want to spend some time talking about group lectio, and this hour goes so quickly. The process of group lectio can be, I think, helpful for individuals. You might invite some people to join you, and you decide together which text to use, a weekly prayer gathering, a monthly prayer gathering. You might be in a time of discernment in your life and invite people to pray with you and discern with you using Lectio Divina, using a text. I chose this text today because for me, it is that whole thing of the hope to which you are called is so much alike the summon out all that I shall be. And yet in my own experience this morning, it wasn't that phrase that came, it was that about God's power working within us that can accomplish these things. And I was like, aha, I've been trying too hard to do this by myself, you know, let God's power work within me to summon it out and in fact to accomplish it. So, but having others listen with us can be a really helpful thing, especially in a time of discernment. And so we not only hear God's word for us within us, but we hear other people's reflections on the same word and can reflect them back. It may be that they're invited in to help us in a discernment. It may be just simply a group of friends who all have their own experience. And again, our experience then is expanded by hearing others' experience. I've also, I think as I mentioned at the very beginning, used this in groups that are trying to make corporate decisions, group decisions and group discernments, to pray with a text, text like this, other texts, and where we listen for what is God's word for us together as we discern what God is calling us to do as a community, or what is the action or the way of being that God is calling us as a community to be. So group lectio can be very helpful for that. Let me speak a little bit about the process, which becomes then slightly altered. Different ways of doing this. When one person can be the reader for the group, and the one who guides you through the process, who invites you into silence and the breath prayer, and then does the reading, and so that others have the luxury of just listening. After that first reading time, without responding to each other, people in the group can simply say and out loud what the word or phrase was, so that the group knows what other people's word is. And as I said, it's not, then there's no comment or interpretation. Then after the second reading and meditation, each member of the group shares what he or she has heard or seen from that meditation. They share with the group how they are seeing or hear God reach out to them through the text in the group process. Then following the third reading, members of the group ask themselves what God is calling them to do or to become today, either individually or their sense of what God is calling forth from the group. And if it's a group discernment that's happening,
it's a way from, you know, sometimes I think I know what God has in mind for us, and it's a way for me to test that in the community and to say, this is what I'm hearing, and let others tell me what they are hearing, and then we share together and are willing to be moved by the word of God that comes through the other's voice. And that can really help a discernment process, a reaching consensus. It can help that. It can let us know that we are in very different places and hearing different things from God at this time, and that we've got to continue praying together, talking together, discerning together. And again, each person's word is that person's word, and it's not, well, you just weren't listening very well. I would welcome other people who have experience with group Lexio to talk about that and share that. It's a wonderful thing to do just simply as a way of a small group growing together in their faith journey and expanding your repertoire of texts and prayers. Choosing a text, as I said, sometimes can be the hardest part. I really do, we're supposed to push the books in the bookstore, and I'm happy to do that. This book has really been helpful for me. One of the things that is nice is that it will give a text and give one or two sentences from that text, so there might be a dozen texts under gratitude. And I'll scan through those and see which one just kind of jumps at me that I want to spend more time with. And that's very helpful. And a group together could decide, you know, maybe it's a group that is a grief group. And they may want to read through in a Lexio exercise the Book of Lamentations or the Psalms of Lament or texts that are particularly devoted, you know, or that speak to us about grief and loss. There may be another group that is really working together on another issue, and so would choose a different kind of clustering of texts. Some people read through the Book of Psalms or the texts for the week. I would think if I were preparing to preach, that doing group Lexio with other people around the text for preaching would be very helpful.
Like I do have we have a small group in our apartment complex that meets at my apartment, and it's twice a month. But anyway, we have done this, taken scripture and sort of guidelines that go along very much with this. But you know, the interesting thing that I find with this group is that invariably, the prayers center around intercessory prayers. It always sort of leads into that. Mm-hmm. And we have commented on it many times after, you know, the fact that you're praying actually for self and for
one another,
and yet it sort of blossoms into something.
Yeah. And I think that can be a wonderful way to end a group Lexio time, to pray together the prayers of our own heart, but to pray prayer concerns that we've heard others express, things that they're...
I work at a small Lutheran college, and we often do this. We did it at Advent in chapel for like 2 weeks, and the students really liked it.
Yeah.
The students really liked it. We also do it at staff meetings.
Oh. You are blessed. Yeah. It would be a wonderful thing to do during a penitential season like Advent or Lent. Yeah. Or any time. In ordinary time.
Our church has done a couple of sessions with the group, and it's been mostly, like in this session, we're mostly in a group, but we're discerning as principle. But kind of like your concept, the idea of trying to do group discernment or on decisions using this. I think that's being a lot more in our church council and stuff like that, trying to come to discernment about what we're going to do together and collectively. And I think this could be something that could be used on one of our staff retreats or something like that to try to get discernment on a project or an idea or a concept. And sometimes that's very difficult to nail down.
I was invited to serve as spiritual director in residence for a congregational council over a period of months, and we use Lexio a lot as a way of beginning the meeting and reflecting, and just was a whole different way of doing business. I'm happy to stay and talk with people. I want to honor the time, and especially people who have time commitments. It's 1:45, but I can stay and chat. I do have a person to see at noon, so I can't stay too long today. But I'm around the village all week, and next week too, so.
Thank you.